Thank you, Brother Kroll. I appreciate that introduction. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thankful that you have each made the effort to be here today, to be in the house of the Lord, to be in Christ's true church, meeting together in His Spirit and in fellowship of that love that He grants unto us, that we have a tie, we have a bond one with another because we are part of Christ's church. And I thank you, and I pray a blessing on each one of you, that the message today would be of interest, of help or inspiration. And again, thank you. Thank you for being here. The title of my sermon today is The Four Questions. Why is this night different? Does that ring a bell with anybody? That question, why is this night different? No? Okay. It's Friday about 6:30 p.m. The sun is setting and the full moon is rising. You're in your home with all your family around the dinner table. The house has been swept clean of any yeast or other kind of leavening. The table is set with the best china. In the center of the table is a large platter with a boiled egg, some parsley, horseradish, a clean shank bone, and a dish of what looks like relish. The eldest woman of the family is lighting two candles. And you hear these words. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. This is the beginning of the feast of the Passover, a celebration instituted and commanded by the Lord over 3,000 years ago to commemorate the redemption of the Israelites from 430 years of bondage to the Egyptians. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, we read the following words. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. This feast is also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because they were to eat no leavening, neither was leaven to be found in their homes. The original details of the feast were rather simple, consisting of a whole lamb and eating it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. As a side comment, we used to live over in the city around the corner from the New York Deli, which was a kosher Jewish delicatessen. And every year, prior to Passover, we'd drive by there, and all of their baking equipment, all of their racks, all of their pans, everything was out in the parking lot. And they were hosing everything down, and they were hosing everything down inside, so that there would be, because there's a lot of leavening in a bakery. But they would clean that whole building out and clean out all that leavening. Here's a picture of what it might have looked like with the matzah and the shank bone and the parsley. the boiled eggs. And all these things we're going to see have symbolism. And we're going to see what that symbolism is and why it's important to us. Over the centuries, additional elements were added to the ritual and eventually written down. The Passover meal became known as the Seder, which means order of service. Very simple. The Seder is written in a book called the Haggadah. Families often have a favorite Haggadah, and they're not all the same. They're different. I often have a favorite Haggadah that is handed down from one generation to the next. The Seder is rich in symbolism, and several symbolic objects are used in its celebration, some of which I mentioned earlier. If we read further in Exodus, we find out the purpose of keeping the feast, starting at verse 8. You'll notice one of these, the one on your right, is called the Messianic Passover Haggadah. There is a group of people throughout the world who are Jews, but yet they accept Christ and recognize Christ as the Messiah. But they also keep the Passover. And so they have recognized the symbolism in the Passover that points to Jesus Christ. So their Haggadah is going to read quite a bit differently than the traditional Haggadah that's been used for thousands of years. So this is Exodus 13, verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And you can see here a Jewish family around the table. And the young man in the front on the left is playing a part in this Seder, in this service. The Passover feast is primarily for educating the young about God's awesome power and undying love for his children. This is exemplified in one portion of the Seder called the Four Questions. The youngest son is appointed to ask these questions, and for weeks before the Passover, he rehearses them over and over. At the appointed time, he stands and asks. On all other nights, we may eat leavened bread and matzah. On this night, why only matzah? Question number one. Question number two. On all other nights, we may eat all types of herb. On this night, why bitter herbs? Number three. On all other nights, we do not dip even once. On this night, why do we dip twice? And number four, on all other nights, we eat either sitting up or reclining. On this night, why do we all recline? These questions then are the basis of the remainder of the Seder. The leader of the feast then recites the history of the Hebrew children from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and the miraculous exit from the bondage of the Egyptians. Let's look first at the traditional answers that would be given at the Seder, and then consider the symbolic elements in this ritual that are a type and shadow of Jesus Christ and his redemption of those who would believe on his name. Question one, on all other nights we may eat leavened bread and matzah. On this night, why only matzah? And the traditional response is this. We eat matzah because our forefathers, when they were brought up from Egypt, had to leave in haste and they had no time for their bread to rise. This was the food of slaves. Let's look at Exodus 12:39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened. because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Exodus 12, 39. Leavening is a symbol of sin or iniquity in our lives. The bondage in Egypt is a symbol of spiritual bondage to sin and the devil. If we are to escape the bondage of the devil, we must rid ourselves of sin. The Apostle Paul made this distinction very clear in his 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There is an intriguing element in the Seder where a large piece of matzah is broken into two pieces. One of these pieces, called the afikomen, or Greek for after the feast, or that which comes last, is wrapped in white linen and hidden somewhere in the house. Later, the children are sent out to find this piece with the usual clues. You're getting hot, you're getting cold, you're getting hotter or colder. And once it is found, a prize is given for its return. Now, when a price is paid for something that's returned, this is called redemption, such as redeeming a savings bond or redeeming a coupon. This ritual was instituted after the destruction of the temple in AD 70, and the matzah was substituted for the sacrificial lamb. Although they have no explanation for this part of the Seder, we recognize that the resurrection of Christ is commemorated every time the Passover Seder is celebrated. That Christ's body was wrapped in linen and hidden up to be found 3 days later, alive, resurrected. Question 2, on all other nights, we may eat all types of herbs. On this night, why bitter herbs? And the traditional answer is we eat bitter herbs to remind us of the suffering of our forefathers when they were slaves to Pharaoh, for their labor was very bitter. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. The bitter herb most often used in the Seder is horseradish. Have you ever taken just a spoonful of horseradish? Well, this is great stuff. I like it mixed with things, but not straight. It's bitter, it burns, it's not very pleasant. And it's eaten spread on some unleavened bread. This is the sop that was referred to, sop, S-O-P, that was referred to in John chapter 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. A bitter herb, difficult to swallow. Here we're reminded of the bitter disappointment that Jesus felt, knowing that one of his disciples would betray him, and the sadness he feels every time we yield to the enticement of sin. Question three, on all other nights, we do not dip even once. On this night, why do we dip twice? The two dippings are also symbolic. The first was the dipping of parsley into salt water. The parsley was symbolic of the hyssop that was used to paint the doorpost with the blood of the sacrificial lamb in Exodus 12:22. I neglected to read this. The original answer is we dip twice as a sign of the aristocracy because of the great gifts the Lord has given us. It was only the very rich that could afford the luxury of condiments to dip their food in. As slaves in Egypt, they would have known only poverty and would have had very simple meals. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. And you can see a representation of that, that the sacrificial lamb was sacrificed in the doorway, and then that blood taken in and painted on the doorway all the way around. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. The basin was actually a trough at the threshold of the door on the ground, and the lamb was sacrificed there, and the blood was collected in that trough or basin and then painted with the hyssop all the way around the door. So the entire doorway, both sides, top and bottom, was sealed in blood, sealed in the blood of the perfect sacrificial lamb. We again see the symbolism of Christ when he refers to himself as the doorway in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Then said Jesus again unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The Israelites found safety from the angel of death by entering into the house that was sealed with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. And upon leaving, passing through that same door, they found safety from the Egyptians who would pursue them on their exodus. The second dipping combined the matzah, bitter herbs, and relish that was on the plate. The relish is called charoset, and is a mixture of fruit, nuts, spices, cinnamon, and wine. This combination is supposed to remind the people of the mortar used by the Israelites to build Pharaoh's treasure cities. Let's see Exodus chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All of their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. In the words of a Masonic, I said it again, Messianic Haggadah, we quote, we combine the maror, matzah, and charoset as it is written, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. We remember that life is combined with goodness and sorrow, with joy and tears, with mourning and evening. And so we eat of this bittersweet mixture in acknowledging that the Lord is God in days of joy and in days of sorrow. How can we forget the sorrow in Jesus' soul and the pain in his body as he gladly suffered the death on the cross for our redemption? John chapter 15, 12 to 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Question 4. On all other nights we eat either sitting up or reclining. On this night, why do we all recline? And the traditional response is, we recline as a sign of our freedom, for it is the manner of slaves to eat standing. The first Passover was eaten in haste, as described in Exodus 12, 11, 12. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Future celebrations of the feast were always performed sitting or reclining. We remember the Last Supper described in John 13, 23 and 25. This is a repeat, but to show a different reason. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, Lord, is it who is it? So you can see, they were reclining during this Last Supper. Speaking of the last days, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The redemption which Jesus Christ offers us is the freedom from eternal bondage. With his life, Jesus offered the last great sacrifice for sin, as it is written in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft-times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are once sanctified. Let me read that again. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. In consideration of the Seder, I offer another series of questions found in Alma chapter 3. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who hath created you? Now here he's talking about baptism, about taking upon you the name of Christ and being a new person, and that old person is dead. Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? We will all stand before the Lord to be judged of our works. I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. This is what we all desire to hear. I pray that we can live the life that the Lord expects of us, the life that the Lord has planned for us. The reason he has given us life is so that he can then give us life eternal. Or do you imagine to yourselves that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God, I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? Obviously, you can't lie to God. I say unto you, can you look up, having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can you think of being saved when ye have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved, for there can no man be saved except his garments be washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain through the blood of him of whom it has been spoken by our fathers, who should come to redeem his people from their sins. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord in his divine wisdom has given us prophecies, patterns, types, and shadows. He gave to the children of Israel the Passover, not only to remind them of their redemption from the physical bondage of Egypt's Pharaoh, but to preserve for us the pattern of sacrifice for the redemption of our souls from the bondage of sin. Jesus commanded us to keep his Seder when he gave us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of his last great Passover sacrifice. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now I want to make it perfectly clear. We do not celebrate Passover. We do celebrate the Lord's Supper. Passover was but a type and a shadow of what was to come. It was the framework for the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. I've only touched on just a small amount of the symbolism in the whole Passover story. But the whole event from Joseph through Moses points to the coming of the Messiah. The Passover Seder points to the remembrance that we are to keep of not freedom from Egypt, not freedom from the bondage of Pharaoh, but redemption from the bondage of sin. So we can ask, why is this night different from all other nights? Let's turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I hope this has been of some value to you all today, to see that the power of God's word and the prophecies and types and shadows that are seen throughout his word that point to us, that point to the plan of salvation, that point to righteousness and love between brothers and sisters. Thank you all for your kind attention. I love you each. God bless you.